Thank you for everyone that's helped us worship today, including the many people involved in music, not only the people on the platform, but we do appreciate all the instruments up here. It was beautiful. Those of you singing out as a congregation as well, and helping us in so many different ways. I want to welcome those that are live streaming with us, and again, those who are enjoying us, watching, viewing, worshiping with us, that's the word, even in different places. We're grateful for them and grateful for those of you who serve here and allow us to do that. I'm thankful to be back in Hebrews. And I've said this many times, if you ask me what's my favorite book of the Bible, it's whatever I'm preaching on. And Hebrews is just risen right to the top. And I've never really had such a great appreciation of this book than I do right now. You might say, but you always think that. Well, that may be true because God's Word is just wonderful. And when you take the time to really spend some time getting to know a book, as I hope we're doing together as a church family, I hope you're coming. If you don't love it as your favorite book yet, I'm okay with that. I hope at least you've grown in your appreciation for it. I'd like to begin with a simple illustration, as I typically do. I've had the joy of going to school, pursuing higher education. Again, I'm not necessarily naturally an academic guy. When I told my mom and dad as a high school senior, I was thinking about going to college. My dad's first comment was, "You don't even go to high school half the time." Okay, and I would cut a lot. Okay, and yet here I do. I go to college, become a believer, go to seminary, and have the joy of getting a PhD. And a joy is not the right word. I had the privilege of getting a PhD in New Testament because it really wasn't a joy. It was a privilege. Not the brightest crayon in the box, not naturally a scholar. So if you watched me grow up on Saturdays, I wasn't sitting at home reading books. I was outside playing football, doing, you know, whatever, okay? And so I was maybe at times working through my degree program, I would think, this is hard. I don't know if it's worth it. And I struggle through my languages. That's the hardest difficulty. And, you know, go through Greek, okay. And that was, I guess it is fun to a degree, but it's hard. For me, it's hard. And then to go through Hebrew, and then you have to pass comps on a third language. And so, you know, here I am studying German, not interested in that at all. At least I was interested in Greek and Hebrew. And then you're ready to do the dissertation. So, you know, you have to write a paper. I don't know mine. I can't remember. 350 pages. On something that is new, that contributes to scholarship, allegedly something that people haven't worked on before. And it's an endeavor. It's a big mountain to climb. And I would get discouraged at times, not like super down, working on the dissertation. A number of my friends are ABD. That stands for all but dissertation. And I have complete respect for that. That you do all that work, but the dissertation hill is just too hard to climb. And you just serve the Lord in wonderful ways apart from the dissertation. It's easy to not finish. But I'm grateful. You say, how did the Lord encourage you? In many different ways. But one was by seeing how many people have done it. And I'm looking at all these other PhDs. And now I want to be careful. Some of them are brilliant, and I would include our former pastor in that category, Dr. Stuart Custer. He was a guy growing up reading books, not playing football. I mean, he was just a scholar, and he was a born scholar, and just a very high-level thinker, and I am grateful for that. Looking at him, okay, that's fine. What encouraged me more was I was looking at a lot of people who I thought were just like me. People that were not the brightest crayon in their box. People who I could relate to. And they got PhDs. And they wrote dissertations. And I actually walked through the library of the seminary where I was at. And I walked through the dissertation. I was looking for a dissertation. And again, a dissertation, it's a lengthy paper that you write as part of your degree program. And I'm going in the library in the back in the dusty area that's dark where nobody goes. And there's volume after volume after volume. And I start reading the names on these dissertations. And I know some of these guys. And some of these guys are not incredibly gifted. I relate to them. And it's and the reason that was so encouraging to me is I thought, Lord, they did it. Now again, there are some that are incredibly gifted. But there were people there that I could relate to. And it encouraged me. Lord, if you help them, then no doubt you could encourage me. Welcome to Hebrews. That's Hebrews. Hebrews is a letter written to Jewish Christians. And they're getting persecuted. And a lot of people are saying, give up this Jesus the Messiah stuff. Just come back and be a Jew like you used to. Why do you have to be the weird one in the family? Why can't you just come back and be like the rest of us? And Hebrews is a letter written to those believers saying, don't go back. Never go back. You say, but sometimes it's hard to follow Jesus. Sometimes it is hard to follow Jesus, but never go back. So we have the end of Hebrews 10, 38, 39. I remind us of this from time to time. But my righteous one shall live by faith, a quote from Habakkuk. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So, a believer lives by faith. What does that mean? It means you believe the Bible, basically. You believe God. Now, if you go back, talking to those Jewish believers, thinking about maybe going back to Judaism, my soul has no pleasure in you, but to encourage them, next verse, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. So how do you encourage people not to quit? How do you encourage people that are following Jesus not to go back to their old life? One way is by giving them lots of examples. We are encouraged by examples of people who believe. Welcome to Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So you need to live by faith, not by sight. And do encourage you, for by it, verse 2, the men of old gained approval. So the writer of Hebrews goes all through chapter 11, giving us many examples of people who live by faith. And that's not an esoteric, just have faith, you know, believe it and it'll happen. We're not talking about that. We're talking about taking the Bible and taking God at His Word. That's what it means to live by faith. I've called the message this morning, and I wasn't sure of the best title. I've changed it since the bulletin was printed. By faith, success and suffering. Because we are now at the end of the chapter, and the writer is going to stop giving vignettes. He's going to stop telling little stories. He's basically going to just start mentioning a handful of names, kind of quick, and mentioning some other things, some which show success in this life, some which show suffering in this life. But he's wrapping up this chapter with the idea that stories are helpful and stories are good. And so as I look here at Hebrews chapter 11, 32, all the way down to verse 38, it really makes a nice message. Half of it success in this life. Half of it suffering in this life. Because of time constraints today, I decided to break that in half. So we're really going to kind of have a first half today. We're going to talk mainly about by faith success. And we're going to focus on Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 down to verse 35, which I'll read now. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weaknesses were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And then there's a radical change. And that'll begin the second half that we'll deal with next time. I want to focus today primarily on by faith success, even though it's in the context of success and suffering. I have 4 points. I'll try to keep it moving. Here we go. Ready? Number one, we need to keep following Jesus even if we don't know our earthly outcome. You say, what do you mean by that? I just read verses 32 through 35a, we would say, first half of 35. All of those are wonderful stories of victory. People who believed in Jesus when it was hard, and they all can give a testimony of how God blessed them in great ways in this life. You say, so just believe in Jesus and have your best life ever, is what the false preaching television evangelist will tell you. And that is not the true gospel. The true gospel is come to believe in Jesus, put your faith in Him, follow Him, and maybe you're going to experience great success in this life, and maybe you're going to experience suffering. And that's a reality. And you say, Greg, where's the suffering? Well, let's go back to verse 35, and let's pick up the second half of verse 35 and work our way down to verse 38, even though we won't focus on it till next time. It says in the second half of Hebrews 11:35, others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Now, we're going to come back and revisit that, by God's grace, Lord willing. And I debated whether or not to even address it in this first message, but I thought it would be best, lest anybody get the wrong idea from the message. We have our first point this morning, guys. We need to follow Jesus not knowing how it's going to turn out. There are faithful believers in Jesus Christ who are diagnosed with cancer, and the church family prays for them, and friends pray for them, and people minister to them, and they turn the corner. And then their cancer goes into remission for long periods of time. Some even get cured. And it's like, praise God, this is awesome. And it is. And those people need to keep following Jesus. And there's other people. And they put their faith in Jesus. And they live wonderful lives spiritually. And they get diagnosed with cancer. And the church family prays and people minister to them. And we do everything we can. And they die slow, agonizing deaths. And you say, Greg, what do you say to those people? The same thing I say to you. Keep following Jesus. Never turn back. You might be blessed with the life of success. You might be blessed with the life of suffering. There are people, right, who go as missionaries to countries where the health care is horrible. And they serve. And God keeps them healthy. And they see great results. And they rejoice in how the gospel goes forth. And they come home and it's like, praise God, this is awesome. And what do you say to them? Keep following Jesus. And there are other people, as young couples, who go out to countries that don't have good health care, and the next thing you know, they're sick and their kids are sick. And it doesn't seem to go well at all. And you say, well, what kind of happened? Well, we shared the gospel, but like nobody really listened. And they come back and you look at them and say, Lord, I mean, nothing, it seems. And you say, Greg, what's your word for them? Keep following Jesus. Guys, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't know how the story's going to end in this world. But still, you put your faith in Jesus, and whether you experience in this life success or suffering, either way, what do? We say, Jesus is my Savior. I am a follower of Him. I have no place else to go. I have no place else I want to go. I'm following Jesus. That's the message of Hebrews. And that's what this last section helps us to understand. So we can't choose the outcome, earthly outcome, but we follow Jesus. But it is so encouraging that frequently for so many, we can identify things that happen that are just wonderful. And that's what this first message will focus on. So our second point, keep following Jesus, encouraged by the faith of others. Notice verse 32, please. That first point was kind of like the whole context. Now we'll look at verse 32. The author of Hebrews says in verse 32, "And what more shall I say?" What else do you need, guys? I've already talked to you about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. That's chapter 11. How much more do you need? Every one of those people faced a difficult situation. They heard the Word of God and they believed it. So why would you turn back? Never turn back. Look at all these wonderful, encouraging stories, good stories. And so what does the writer do? He says, what more shall I say? Well, time will fail me if. I was going to write a paragraph on each one of these guys, and then no one will read Hebrews, okay? So we're going to kind of wrap it up. Time will fail me if I tell of, and then we have four judges, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. You say, what's going on with those guys real quick? All of these are people in that period of the judges. God's people are going into the promised land, but there's opposition around them. They're getting attacked. There's even declension and dissension within the Jewish people who are not being faithful to God, and that there are judges. And they believe the Word of God when it's hard, and they trust Him. And to put it in our language, they keep following Jesus. And that's encouraging. And you could read through Judges, obviously, of these four great examples. And then stay in verse 32. And then there's David, Israel's greatest king. Ask any child who goes to Sunday school, tell me one thing David did as a young boy. He killed Goliath. Yeah. Here's a guy, even my young daughters, granddaughters, Papa, he took a sword and cut off Goliath's head. Yeah, it's like awesome. And God's people do great things when they believe. And we read about David, the great king, whether he's again defeating Goliath, running from Saul and surviving in wonderful ways. And here we have David, from whom our Messiah would come. And then there's Samuel. Kind of a transition time right between the judges and the kings to follow. And Samuel, a wonderful prophet in his time, trusted God as a young child. And then after Samuel, we have listed here just the prophets. And just wide open, after the time of the judges, after the time of the kings, we then get into the time of the prophets. And the author of Hebrews is saying what? Think of these people. People, they faced difficulties, but they believed God's Word. Hey, you Hebrews, don't quit following Jesus. Believe the Word of God. Even as I would say to us as the Trinity Bible Church family, don't stop following Jesus. Where are you going to go? There's people in this room who aren't believers, and I understand that, and you're welcome to come. We want you to know you're welcome. There's other people who are thinking about, I don't know if I really am a believer, I'm not really into this. And I would say, look at all of these stories. These people had voices all around them trying to pull them away, and they kept following Jesus. And these are the kind of stories that should encourage us and help us And that's why we have Hebrews 11. Now, I'm not a big television guy. College football season, I watch a little bit of ball. Outside of that, maybe go a month without turning our television on once. And that doesn't, I'm not saying that makes me holy. I just don't do it. You come? So here we are, Nancy and I are flying out to Manila, 30-ish hours, give or take, altogether. And, you know, I bring a book to read, but you're kind of tired, don't really want to read. I don't want to sleep at certain times because I'm trying to watch the schedule of, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they got like 100 different movies you could watch. And I'm not really interested in fiction because, I just consider it a waste of time. You don't have to agree. And so I'm looking for documentaries or biographies, and I want it to be something that 'll spiritually encourage me. Kind of narrows the list a little bit, huh? And I'm going through all the movies. I came across a movie, and it's an illustration. I'm not recommending this movie. You decide. It was on the life of a very famous boxer named George Foreman. And some of you who know sports know that name. He grew up a poor kid, made fun of a lot, single-parent home, rough. Only one thing he could do well. He's horrible in school, didn't speak well, didn't communicate well, but he had a wonderful right hook, and he could hit people. And he ended up getting involved in boxing and became a great boxer. His mom was a God-fearing mom, I hope a believer, who would talk to him about honoring God, about trusting in the Lord, and he really had no interest in that at all. And he has now a ton of money. He's with a ton of women. His wife leaves him because of his unfaithfulness. He's just living the normal guy, lots of money, athlete life, as is typical. Nothing unusual there. His life starts going downhill quickly. He has an experience. He believes he died. He may have passed out, I don't know, after losing to a guy who's not even a good boxer because his life's unraveling. And basically, something changes in his life. I hope he came to know Christ. Now he's reading his Bible. He's actually now standing on street corners with a microphone and an amplifier preaching the gospel. And his life turns around, and it's a very encouraging movie. He decides, now that he's a Christian, he wants to go back to boxing. He talks to his former coach. The coach says, look at you. You're like, I can't remember, 100 pounds overweight. I mean, you know, you're just, it's not going to happen. And he says, well, I think God's going to help me. And the key thing is, and I looked it up just to make sure it was accurate, and from what I read it is, he actually came back, lost a ton of weight, started working out, and then once again became the heavyweight champ of boxing. So kind of an inspirational movie. He became a pastor, what have you. I hope truly a believer. Again, I don't know the story that well, but it encouraged me. So I use that as an illustration. Stories encourage people. Hebrews 11 is all about stories that we have. And we see that there are many, many people who trust in God and they experience great success. That's one of the reasons we read a Bible, Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So if you start getting discouraged, even in your walk with Christ, what do? Just keep reading God's Word prayerfully, humbly, but keep reading. And the Holy Spirit encourages us through that. So number one, keep following Jesus, even though we don't know the earthly outcome. Number two, keep following Jesus, encouraged by the faith of others, including all of these wonderful Old Testament stories. Number three, keep following Jesus, who is able to do great things. You say, what kind of things? Pick it up in verse 33, guys. What does it say in verse 33? Who by faith conquered kingdoms. Probably a reference, most think, to King David. I mean, Israel at its zenith, the borders just going and going, as under David's kingship, things were just incredible. And then it says in verse 33 after that, who by faith, that applies to all of these, performed acts of righteousness. Other translations, enforced justice, administered justice. Many people think that may be a reference to Solomon, who was certainly gifted in administrating the kingdom he got through his dad. And then after that, notice verse 33, who by faith obtained promises. And in reference back to verse 9, and Abraham coming into the land, God promised them a land. And Abraham experienced that. And wonderful, wonderful promises. So you have these three examples tied together of people who experienced wonderful things. And then there's another three. Three examples of deliverance. We're still in verse 33. Who shut the mouths of lions. Probably, again, a reference to Daniel. The kids love this one. It's a great story of Daniel in the mouth, in the lion's den, the mouths of the lions being shut. And then by faith quenched the power of fire. Most probably, again, in Daniel, the story there of the three, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and how God kept them alive in the midst of the fiery furnace. And then by faith escaped the edge of the sword. And that could refer to so many different people that the commentators don't even know who to refer to. So we have three kind of put together that all did great things by faith, and then three that experienced great deliverance by faith, and then another three examples who do great things by faith. We're back in verse 34 again. It says, from weakness were made strong. Many would say Samson comes to mind there. And then became mighty in war. And then finally put foreign armies to flight. So many different options that the commentators just say too many to even note. And then if that's not enough, look at your verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And so we have the widow's son, right, who passed away. And we read of Elijah in 1 Kings. And God uses Elijah to bring that young man back to life. And then in 2 Kings, we have the Shunammite woman and her son died. And Elisha is used by God. And both of these women experienced sons coming back to life. And you say, what's the whole point? These are true stories. These are wonderful stories of what God is able to do. And these are all stories that point out to the importance of believing God's Word. And the writer's just throwing names out. I don't mean that in a casual way. No doubt selecting them carefully. But just names and then just comments to help us all know that we need to keep following Jesus, who's able to do great things. And I think some people, and I know this because I've talked to a couple of you about this, some people actually struggle with the names chosen, especially one. And I've had two different people come up to me and say, Greg, I just got to let you know, when you get to the end of Hebrews 11, I don't know what you're going to do with this guy, because I don't know why he's in the list, because he wouldn't be in my list, and if it weren't in the Bible, I wouldn't want him in the list. Now, I know it's the Bible. But I still don't think he should be in the list. And I think you all know who we're talking about, right? I mean, we're talking about Samson. I mean, you ask me about Samson. Well, let's just put it this way. Most of us aren't naming our first son Samson. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just, most of us don't. Okay. You say, what's going on with, okay. Why would God list people that have failed in such great ways? You ever think about that? I mean, just to be completely honest, if you asked me, Greg, tell me about your dad. I'm very thankful for my dad. Dad's not a believer. I'm very thankful for my dad. You say, tell me about your dad. I would tell you a handful of things that are really a blessing. That he coached my baseball team a couple of times. and he would take me in the backyard and just teach me some fundamentals of throwing a ball, catching a ball, and that he came to every one of my football games. He would never miss. He taught me that. So when I had girls growing up, I just, you know, told Nance, I said, even when life is busy, I never want to miss a game. If the kids are playing soccer, I'm there. And we're just going to plan on that and make it happen because I want to be there. I learned that from my dad. He was a good example. And you say, Greg, tell me some things where your dad really messed up. I would say, no. No. Why? I mean, if I'm writing the book, I decide. I'm not putting that in there. Why? If I'm writing the Bible between you and me, I'm not putting some of those failures in there. I wouldn't. So why did God? Why does God tell us both sides of some of our heroes, like David? And Samson, it's a toss-up if you'd even consider him a hero. Maybe we need a fourth point. Let's have it. Keep following Jesus, regardless of your failures. There are people in this room that say, Greg, I have failed in great ways. I believe you. Some of those I know of. I'm sure most of those I don't. And for many of us, we would say, there are things I would be ashamed of. I hope nobody puts in my biography. Amen. Right? I'm with you 100%. So why does God list people like, real quick, Gideon. Now I know that he helped deliver Israel from the Midianites. I don't know if I would have picked Gideon. Gideon, this is God speaking to you. Go deliver Israel. Yeah, God, I don't really believe you. You know, just because you speak, why would I believe you? So I'm going to put some wool on the ground so that we're going to do a little test. Hope you're not mad. I think I would skip that one, you know? But it's there. Maybe because there are times where we doubt God. And He's patient with us. And He still uses us. And God did use Gideon in a great way. And I won't do all of them, but how about Samson? I mean, obviously he struggled greatly with women. The understatement of the year. And yet, how does it end? It ends in victory. Because here are the enemies of Yahweh mocking him. And here's Samson. In spite of all he does, says, Lord, one final victory, if you would allow it to be so. I trust you. And the whole thing comes down. And the Bible says he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life, by faith. If I were to ask you about Jephthah, what do you know about Jephthah? I don't think a lot of you would tell me about the battles that he won. At least in my mind, the first thing we think is, oh, he made that unwise vow. Sure did. I think we're going to skip Jephthah, but no. I'm guessing there's people in this room who would say, I've prayed some unwise prayers in my life. And yet God still forgives and God still uses us. And then, of course, King David, right? I mean, talk about failing as a king. Talk about abusing his power and taking advantage of a woman in a horrific way. And then killing her husband to cover it. And you read this, and I promise you if I'm writing the biography, it's not going in there. But God thought differently. And maybe what's happening here, guys, is God is encouraging sinful people like us. And we think, you know, is it worth it to keep following Jesus? Because I've struggled. And I have to confess, in some of my struggles, I've come out on the wrong side of the coin. And yet I come to Hebrews 11 and I read these wonderful stories. And they're listed here to bless you and encourage you to realize you never go back. Never go back. No matter if people are reminding you, you're a Christian, look how you failed. Well, it's a reality, own it, confess it, but I'm not going back. Because I believe in Jesus. And there are so many people through history that have believed in Jesus. And even though people pushed hard to convince them that they shouldn't, they persevered in their faith. And God has blessed them in wonderful ways. And God is able to bless you in wonderful ways, ways of great success. And that's possible whenever He wants to do it. Now, will He do it? We don't know. There's a second half of this message. But the fact of the matter is, we have the stories, we have the examples. Hebrews 11 is written to encourage you in your faith. So whenever you're thinking about, I don't even know if this believing in Jesus thing is real, if I want to continue in it, I have all these voices, and sometimes they're internal. Open to Hebrews 11. Read the stories. Then go back and check them out in the Old Testament if you want. And be encouraged to keep following Jesus. That's the message of Hebrews. Don't go back. Never go back. Jesus is better. Never go back. I close with a simple illustration of this. Many of you are familiar with motivational speakers. And there's a lot of motivational speakers who make very good living by motivating people. And they all tell stories. And it's a good thing, because they encourage us to do things sometimes that are good, but that may be difficult. And someone who's more than a motivational speaker, and I appreciate it, I'm not saying I agree with everything he teaches, and you know his name at least is Dave Ramsey. And so Dave Ramsey has very listened to podcasts about helping people that are in unwise financial debt, people that are drowning in debt and their life is a mess, and he teaches them, here's a plan. You got to work the plan. You got to go through the baby steps, okay? So you have to just walk through this, and you know, I won't remember everything, but get the emergency fund and then do the debt snowball and then work hard, living on basically 80% of your income and plan for retirement. And if you're willing to live like no one else, one day you'll be able to live and give like no one else. And he tells stories. And frequently the podcast ends, it'll be a couple, frequently a married couple, not always, and they'll give a little testimony. And they'll say, you know, we had like whatever, $20,000 on credit card debt, and we had bill collectors chasing us. Both of our cars were financed. One got repossessed. And our life was so bad. And Dave, we followed the plan. And we just want to tell you that we are debt free. And then he has them give a scream. Some of you have heard this. They shout out, we're debt free. And then he plays music in the background. And everybody goes crazy. And it's the idea of, if you're drowning in debt, you hear his teaching and you say, well, I don't know. But then you hear stories that you can relate to, and it encourages you. That's Hebrews. All through the centuries, there have been people who have struggled in their faith. If you're struggling, don't think you're unique. It's always been that way. This is one of the reasons we have a Bible. This is one of the reasons we have Hebrews. This is one of the reasons we have all of these stories. It's not so you can pass Bible trivia, okay? It's so that you can be encouraged in your faith, that just like these people believe the Word of God, even when I'm persecuted, even when I'm discouraged, even when it's hard, I'm not going back. I have no place else to go. Jesus is better. And I hope that'll encourage all of us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for Hebrews. We are thankful for the great 11th chapter. What a blessing this chapter is. Lord, all of these stories, people, both the good and the bad, yet people who believed your word, which is the essence of faith. And so we pray, Lord, we pray that you would help us. Because even though there's sometimes we find it easy to believe your word and life's going all right, there are times, Father, you know, where we struggle for many different reasons. And we struggle to really continue to follow Christ. And so we ask that you would help us, that you would bring to our minds these wonderful stories, these true illustrations of people who heard your word and believed it and were blessed. Lord, encourage us. And for Lord, for those listening who maybe still have yet to put faith in Jesus, we pray that you would open their hearts and that you would draw them, as we know you can, oh, for your glory, in